First song started off this morning talking about grace. It'll be one of the topics we hear this morning and verses we look at, and the other, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Today's message is all about that wonder and awe about what the marvelous mystery of Christ and what he has been doing throughout the ages and is doing today. So your hearts are ready if you've been paying attention to the words we've been singing for what God's word has for us. Good stuff today. 2014, the year of something. We'll have to answer at the end of it. Hopefully the message will give us to that point. It's not a word. All right, now if you want to guess what it is, I'll actually buy you lunch this week. You care what I'm going to put here right now just by that. But you have to write it. Because if you don't write it down, alright. Part of the new year is reflecting on the past. How many of you had some good experiences 2014? I see a few smiles. I think that's because, yes? 2013, yes, the past. How many good experiences from 2013? Yes, alright. One of my favorites this year was actually going back to the States for the 2 weeks. It was a very intense trip that I got to go up to northern Minnesota, actually to Wisconsin to see my grandmother in the nursing home, and on the way back, Mom and Dad took us through northern Wisconsin, where my mom grew up. Grandpa was a forester, so Mom lived in the forest ranger's house in northern Minnesota, and they lived in several different ones, but the one that she lived in here, in this area called Manitowa, is actually next to two different waterfalls. One of them is the tallest waterfall in Wisconsin. This is the smaller of the two, the little one, and in fact, Mom and Dad on their honeymoon passed by this spot here, stopped and checked it out, so it was a good memory of way long ago for them. And this is the large waterfall, large Manitowa Falls, Indian name, so if you're Indian, forgive me for massacring the name. But one of the things Mom shared with us as we were growing up, as she was just a country girl, was to look for agates. Anybody know what an agate is? A few, just little quartz rock. Pretty little lines, they polish them up and they look good. But Mom growing up would spend hours, as she walked to school and walked back to school or didn't have anything else to do, walking down gravel roads, looking in the dirt, and looking for these rocks that are special, that stand out from the rest of them, agates. So we grew up as kids, we'd visit Grandma and Grandpa to walk down the road with Mom, looking, trying to find these agates. Now, oops, for that one, I got two, that's why I have two. Agates are beautiful. They come in lots of different colors and shapes and sizes. But they're actually kind of hard to find if you're looking along a lake shore. That big. And just put it in perspective of where you're actually looking. This is on a lake shore. There's a lot of rocks out there. So this is one of those things that you do when your Game Boy is not working or your Nintendo or you don't have Wi-Fi. You go walk along the shore, enjoying some quiet time, and finding beautiful rocks, part of God's creation. So that's part of my history growing up, and reminds that as I was there actually with Mom and Dad there in northern Minnesota. So if you can see the agates in that picture, you're doing good. I'm glad I didn't make a puzzle out of that. So 2014, we have a new year in front of us that we're going to kind of fill, put something in those little dots there. But as we're looking in chapter 3 today, in verses 7 through 13, we're going to be looking at this gift of God's grace. It doesn't stand out very good on all those rocks. It's hidden in there. I'm making an experiment to find it there. The gift of God's grace is what we're looking at. And we've been going through this book of Ephesians. It's a book written by the Apostle Paul long, long, long time ago. And our goal as we've been looking through these verses is to apply it to our lives today. What does God's word, written long ago, have to do with today? Our lives, how we're living it, what we do, and how we live it. And I actually give you a little hint of what's coming up. These verses today are kind of like in the very center of the book, six chapters, it's near the end of chapter 3. We're getting to something that's like core to what the Apostle Paul's writing about today. So if this was a music script, there's some musicians in here. It starts off a nice mezzo piano, kind of quietly playing along there as Paul gets going into this book. By the time we get to this section today, he's at the forte. I mean, he's like pounding on the piano, he's, you know, what are you doing? Saxophone to make it loud. You blow harder? Okay. Just trying to connect to my musicians out there. If you're on the drums, this is where you're, you know, jamming away here, hitting everything you can. Because next week when Dr. David speaks, he actually gets to this prayer that gets to this big hallelujah moment. And we're actually going to just barely touch on it today. But so today is building for what's coming up. But we're already into the, okay, we're having fun on the trap set here, just jamming away. So this is, in this musical score, we're having fun right now with these verses. All right? I gave a little emotional input into what Paul's going on here. So let's read these verses in chapter 3. It's verses 7 through 13. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. So these are the verses we have today to look at, to wrestle with, and to apply to our lives, to find out what it is that gets Paul so excited in these verses. The gift of God, or the gift of God's grace. Paul starts off these verses by saying, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me. In this first point here, we have the idea of Paul's humility. Now, humility we think of as being lower than others, or recognizing your true place around you. Now, when we look back in history, we don't usually put Paul as the least of people here. But Paul's putting himself in perspective of who God is and what God has done. The only reason Paul is anybody is because of the gift of God's grace given to him. God poured out his grace on the Apostle Paul, allowed him to see Jesus, the living God, and allowed his life to be changed. So he recognizes it's not a matter of position, it's a matter of perspective with who God is and what God has done. But more importantly for today, and tied together, is his intentionality. Paul says that he is a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace. Now this word grace has been coming up several times as we've gone through this book of Ephesians. Grace. And when we first hear it, as people who are just learning about God and what he's done, grace is in the context of our salvation. It says in chapter 2, verse 10, one of those famous verses, for by grace we are saved through faith. So grace is integral, central to salvation. It's central to coming into relationship with God. In fact, Paul says he's a servant of this gospel. So Paul is saying his presentation for Jesus Christ is and what he's done is all about us understanding and receiving this eternal life. But he's also saying here it's central because it's not just the start. It's not just beginning. It's not just that salvation moment. This gift of grace enables Paul to live his life. This gift of grace is central to who Paul sees himself in his work, in his life, in his whole being. A servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace. Everything that Paul is saying to this point, and especially as we get to the next few chapters of practical living, is based upon the fact that we can live our lives based on God's grace. This gift of God's grace given to us. Something that's been done. So grace is something that God is freely giving. In fact, he emphasizes it by saying it's a gift. And Paul is recognizing in this that he is, yes, humbly saved, something God has done, but he's also intentional about doing something with this amazing gift, or living it in such a way with this gift that God has given him. He lives his life for God's glory. So this is what Paul is entering this section is. He's taking everything to this point and applying it very personally. I have become the servant. I have a task to do. In fact, if you remember back again to those same verses in chapter 2, for by grace we are saved through faith, we take out the negative things that it's not tied to there. It continues on in chapter 10 and says, for by grace we are saved through faith for good works that have been created in Christ Jesus. So we're saved through this grace and we're living our lives in these good works for who God has made us to be. So that's where Paul is starting. Because before we take it to the next step to see God's bigger purpose and his bigger intentions, we're going to stop and pray and thank God for what Paul has seen here. Father God, we want to stop and thank you for your words that have been given to us through the Apostle Paul. A man who recognized his humble beginning. He was against the living God. He fought against the living God by punishing, by persecuting, by killing those that wanted to serve you. But because of your grace, you opened his eyes and revealed yourself to him, allowed him to see that you are the living God. And because of that, you gave him an opportunity to share this amazing message, both to his generation, but also to us today through these words that are recorded for us. Help us to change our lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given to him through the working of God's power. Continuing then in verse 9. To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages has been kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. We talked last week, we heard through Jeff as he was sharing about the mystery of what God was doing. That God has revealed today through the Apostle Paul what he was planning to do for all of history, something God had planned. Now, keeping with the theme of rocks this morning, there's another type of rock out there, same kind of quartz idea. It's called a geode. Anybody know what a geode is? Find my geologist. My wife knows because she heard me preparing. Yes, okay, we do have a scientist in here. All right. Geodes are pretty amazing forms of rocks. They're actually formed as gas comes up through kind of volcanic areas, makes a pocket of air inside of these rock formations, and then through a long, 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 long amount of time, this empty pocket slowly fills up with quartz crystals. So you end up with this, basically a ball of rock as you look at it from the outside, but if you cut it open, you find this hollow cavity inside with these amazingly beautiful crystals inside. I don't have quite that kind of a geode this morning because I didn't find them, but I have some beautiful rocks with crystals inside. But as you're looking for these kind of things, they look kind of like that on the bottom there, just a plain rock. Not even beautiful like the agates on the road that you would know there was something there. You actually have to know what you're looking for to realize that this chunk of rock, if you were looking at it like this here, has something beautiful and amazing inside, something hidden away. Now just again to put this in perspective, because you know, they're not just laying around, this is a guy out looking for geodes in, I don't know where actually, I didn't ask, but somewhere out here, there's a lot of these rocks, about baseball size, smaller than soccer, handball size maybe. Somewhere out there are hidden beautiful, beautiful quartz rocks inside of these rocks. Anybody want to go looking? That doesn't sound too appealing, right. But this is what we could compare this mystery that God has planned. So it says that God had this mystery planned from the beginning of time. God is the creator of all things. So when he created the world, he started through the Old Testament process of revealing himself. He had hidden away this mystery that we know today called the church. The church is a collection of God's people all around the world. People who are believing in Jesus Christ, who are trusting in him. Not just in our generation, but going back to our parents and our grandparents, kind of all the way back through history and however many more generations are going to come. Just kind of across generations, across ethnicities, across everything you can think of. This is the church, the universal church. As we said in the creed earlier, we believe in the one universal church. That's what it is. All those through all time, through all of history, who put their faith in Jesus Christ, who are trusting in this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, that was hidden away in the time of Adam and Abraham and David, Isaiah, and all those other people in the Old Testament, hidden away inside of a rock like this, we could say, but beautiful once it was revealed, cut open in the time of Jesus Christ. The intent of God, it says here in these verses, was that through the church, he was going to make known the manifold wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So as you cut this open, you see all these quartz inside. Each one of them has a little angle that reflects light, sparkles. Kind of like a diamond, only quartz, not quite as expensive. But it's full of. The bigger the quartz, the geode, the more inside of it you can see all these different facets of light and beauty that's reflected. That's what quartz does. And so as the church then here is saying is what's supposed to be reflecting this wisdom, full of the wisdom of God. That's what is supposed to be seen in today and what's going on. Here's just a bigger picture of what we're talking about. Cut open those rocks, and inside is this big hollow space full of beautiful, beautiful quartz. And in some way, we're comparing it today to this manifold wisdom of God. And then that's what's happening now. God is revealing today, says now in this time, God has stepped out of eternity into this moment to reveal this wisdom. But it's tied to what God has already done in the past, which is the purpose of God, where he says, according in verse 12, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Something he's already accomplished. In Christ Jesus, he brought salvation. In Christ Jesus, God removed the barrier between us and him, allowed us to see who God is, took away our sin, and brought us back into relationship with himself. So this is the path that Paul is taking on this morning through these verses. But somehow, this is all very intellectual. Because if we continue reading on here, into these next verses, we're going to get to the point at the end of this chapter where Paul goes on and says, now to him who's able to do more than we can ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul gets to a hallelujah moment. Amen. That's what Paul's getting to here. So how is what this informational section that we're in right now, Paul's a servant. Yep, got that. Grace is about this. Yep. And somehow in this, God has an intent to show off himself. God has this purpose. What is it in this that building up to this point that says that Paul can get to this? Amen. Pay attention to you. This is exciting. What is it that's helping him move through this as an author and helping us today to get to that same point as well? Verses 12 and 13. In Christ and through faith in Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Okay. First of all, if you're looking in your verses, I'm putting this in context. What does our approaching Christ have to do with God's intent and God's purpose? What does my and yours coming in faith through Christ have to do with the fact that God's trying to show off his manifold wisdom in these heavenly realms? What connects there? Let me put it to you this way. When we come into the presence of God, when I walk into the presence of God, we're talking about spiritual realities here. We've already been told we believe in Jesus Christ, we are brought into the presence of God. We have access to God. When I come before the living God, do you know who's watching? All the spiritual realms. Spiritual authorities. Whatever those are, angels that are out there, rulers, things we don't see with our eyes, but the spiritual realms, that's reality. When I come before the living God in Jesus Christ and through faith in Jesus Christ, the spiritual authorities are watching. And they stop and they go, I get it. Jesus Christ died, shed his blood. The living God died so that Brian Richards can walk here. You know what? I don't deserve to be in front of the living God. Jesus Christ died so that Debbie Stout could walk into the very presence of God with confidence. Jesus Christ lived his life, was perfect and holy and righteous, and went to the cross and took the sins of the world and the sins of each one of us on his shoulders. And all these people in the heavenly realm saying, these people, this creation of God, should not be here. But they are.
Hallelujah.
Because of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Each time that you and I come together, each time that you and I individually come before the living God, the heavens take notice and say, These people are only here because Jesus Christ is God. These people are only here because Jesus Christ died in their place. Paul is building this up and saying, God is being glorified. His wisdom is being displayed when you come before God. That's why he ties it to this access to God. In Christ and through faith in Christ, we can approach God. You're approaching God. You're coming before God with prayer. You're coming before God with thankfulness. You're coming before God with joy. Is your chance to show off the glory of God. Your chance to show off the wisdom of God. It's your chance to be the little shiny facet of this quartz crystal in the scope of eternity. And this is talking about all of humanity's time, ages past and ages to come. When we are in the presence of God, heaven takes notice.
Hallelujah.
It takes notice because, as Paul says, we're servants. We're the least of anybody. Not a single one of us should be here, except for the fact that Jesus Christ took us in there because of his sacrifice on the cross. You and I are one of the multifacets of God's wisdom. We display it. We show and prove to the heavenly realms that what God did really was a wise thing. Can you imagine that? Your life, your relationship with God displays the wisdom of God. You're amazing because of what God has done in you and through you. And this is what Paul is building up, this passionate, exuberant expression, this hallelujah moment that he gets into when he comes into God's presence in his prayer and prays for us and prays for all people through all generations. So we're not talking about us, because he prays at the end of this chapter that through Christ be glorified in the church, both now and through all generations. Amen. We're part of those all generations. This is for us. God is being glorified. Paul is getting so psyched up for what he's talking about here. I mean, not just sitting there writing this old theology book. He's writing about his passionate understanding of who God is and what God is doing.
That's right. Hallelujah.
We are the reflection of God's wisdom that's being talked about today. The church. The church is this reflection. So you and I are parts of that church. We've already been told that you and I are these bricks being built into this building where God inhabits, these bricks for the living God to take up residence in. This is us, the church. The wisdom of God is being displayed in us as we come into the presence of God. The church displays the manifold wisdom of God. When we enter into God's presence in Christ, through faith in Christ, the heavenly realms take notice.
Hallelujah.
This is why later on, when we get to chapter 6, it'll be way back in July coming up, it's going to say, take your stand against the heavenly forces of evil that are out there. We can take our stand against them because we're standing in God's presence.
That's right.
It's not anything to do with us or our power or our understanding or our knowledge. We're standing in God's presence. All of what we're going to see to come, chapters 4 and 5 and 6, is based upon this very fundamental perspective that we see right here. We have access to the living God. It's not something that was available before the time of Christ, and it's not something found anywhere else in this world, in any other religion, except for in Jesus Christ, in him and in faith in him. This is the perspective that we go through. And because of this perspective, of us standing in the presence of God, of all of the heavenlies watching and paying attention, Paul's going to tell us in the next few chapters, this then is how we really should live our lives. We want to be worthy of this. We want to be found honoring to God. We want to not bring any dishonor to who God is. That's coming. Today, all we're going to see, and all we're seeing is, we are in the presence of God's present tense reality, and in this moment, in this generation that we're living in today, we, the church, display the wisdom of God. It's amazing. That's why Paul's so excited here. That's why Paul is changing his world around him with this message. And it's why it also changes his perspective, and he wants the perspective of the people he's writing to, his perspective to change. He says in this last verse here, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, because this is for your glory. The only way this verse fits into the context is where Paul is again saying, look, forget the fact that I'm in prison because of what Christ has done, because of what Christ called me to do. My being in prison should not be a discouragement to you. Why? Where is Paul? In the spiritual realm, we're talking again. In the presence of God. Paul's not concerned about the fact that he's suffering, that he's been beaten. In fact, in other places in Scripture, it gives us this long list of what he's gone through. Beaten, left for dead, poisoned, shipwrecked, left in prison, stoned to death, lots of different things. Don't worry about that. Don't let my sufferings, he said, cause you to be discouraged. If I knew this was happening to my parents back in the States, I think I'd be discouraged. Except for the fact that Paul's saying, all this is happening, but I'm in the presence of God, and the heavenly realms are watching, and God's getting glorified. I'm a part of his big plan. It's all under God's control. The perspective that Paul is trying to bring across to us today is that the glory of God is being displayed, his wisdom is being displayed in your life and in my life. It's being displayed. It's us to be living for him and to work for him. But when we can see ourselves and we can see people around us in this perspective, that it really is this generational thing where God is getting glory and we're a part of his plan and we're sharing this plan with other people, our emotional status in all of this is better regulated. How's that putting it? We're able to put into perspective what God is doing. I can handle a lot more. I can endure a lot more. I can be a more an encouragement to other people because I can see my life through what God is doing. The manifold wisdom of God. It's at work, and he's displaying it. So 2014. It's the year of the geodes. That's why I knew nobody was going to get it. 2014, the year of the geode. The gift of God's grace. So many of our lives are like these rocks. We're just kind of a rough, lumpy, hard thing on the outside. But as God gets a hold of us and gets into the core of who we are, he finds beauty, and we actually have beauty that he's made within us. These are our lives, and we're here to display the wisdom of God. If this is the church, hidden away like this for all time, but now revealed today. Look inside of that geode there and see one of those little glimmers of light and find yourself. Together, we make up this beautiful picture of what God is doing. Together, we're so much more than we are individually. Together, we encourage, we build up, and most importantly, we display the wisdom of God. So this year, as you're making your plans and your resolutions and going forward then, part of this resolution should be, God, show your wisdom in me. Let it change my perspective. Let it change my attitudes. Let it change my actions. Let my whole life be about reflecting you. Let your life be seen by people around you. Let them see what God is doing in you. As Paul said, be this person who shares the gospel with other people. It's the only hope there is. And let's see what God's going to do in this coming year in our lives and in our church here at ICS as we show off his wisdom. Let's pray. Father God, we ask this morning that even as Paul was fantastically excited about what you were about, that we would be simply excited and passionate as well. I thank you that for some reason you have chosen to receive glory from our lives, from our church, from your church around the world, from your church through all generations. We thank you that in us your wisdom is being displayed. Lord, we see our own lives and we see how often we make a mess of it, but how often your grace steps in and changes us. So we pray this morning that this year in front of us, 2014, would be a year where we as a church and as individuals reflect your wisdom. Where we live for you, where you have a right perspective of what you're doing, and where you get glory from us. We ask this because of Jesus, the one in whom we put our faith and the one in whom we put our trust, the one for whom we live our lives. We ask that in Jesus' name.